I am Kevin Walter, your host, and I have to casually start the show a few seconds late, often enough. Anyway, I admit my faults. I call it self-deprecation, I suppose. So welcome to True Wealth. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. The broker part probably doesn't make much sense, but over the years we've brokered some significant, profound deals. That doesn't seem to be stuff we do much anymore, but it basically applies to, in the past, we've brokered some substantial coins. We had one customer that I kind of got into it. Back in the days, in the probably the late 90s, early 2000s, I got him into collecting. He had a very successful company that he bought for a great deal, and it took off, and he got where he was making significant amounts of money, and he loved coins, and he moved on. He moved into an arena that was not my arena, and he got to the point where he was buying the finest known of the best, and we've had, you know, we brokered some coins. We brokered, for example, a 19, this will mean nothing to you, a 1927 Denver $20 gold piece. Now, the D mint mark on this matters. Don't go look at, if you have $20 gold pieces, don't go look at your $20 gold pieces and say, I have a 1927, because 1927s are common. They made Philadelphia and a very few Denver. They made millions of Philadelphia mints, and the Denver mint is, it's above the date. Trust me, you don't have one. So anyway, back probably in the early 2000s, it was graded Mint State 66. We brokered it at the time for $660,000, and I just made a few grand, and now that coin's worth over $4 million. And it, there was a number of other items like that, 1804 silver or bust silver dollar, you know, that we brokered for like $800,000. That's seriously today probably worth over $3 million. We handled, we've had in the shop, we handled, there's only five known 1913 Liberty nickels. These aren't 1913 Buffalo nickels, they're 1913 Liberty nickels. The last year of the Liberty nickel was 1912. And in 1913, apparently the mint director, it wasn't uncommon back then that the mint director would make fantasy pieces for certain customers. And there were five made. Only four had shown up at this time. And it's ironic because there was another one that a lady had in her closet in a plastic holder that she had shown to three different dealers over the years. And in every case, the dealer said, oh, no, that's fake. Her husband had accumulated it back in the day. And they'd say, oh, no, that's fake. Well, they thought it was fake because the odds were, you know, impossible. And then I think probably, 15 years ago, she brought it out again. There was a bunch of publicity about one of them or whatever. She brought it out again, took it to some major dealer in New York or something who actually took the time to authenticate it, and it came out. So that was interesting. But that's that one. The odds of having that coin are seriously like 1 in 100 billion, or maybe more like 1 in a trillion of the stuff that's out there. But anyway, so now there's five minted by record, and there's five known, but two of them have been in our shop. And when they were in our shop at the time, they were at different times, but they were worth maybe $1 million. Now five, six, seven, or whatever. And there's other stuff I could keep going on, but that's what the broker thing is, you know, we typically have handled some of that stuff and times have changed and the guy went on and he's highly involved in a massive, rare coin endeavor, buying and selling, you know, et cetera. So, but that was one guy. We've had others. We have some of the finest known collections ever assembled. And I'll just that we'll just say that passed through here. And I'll leave it at that because I, you know, that's where I want to leave it. But anyway, so that's what the broker part is. The brokerage concept is really not something we do much with. Matchmaking is kind of what that would be. So when I say broker-dealer, we're really a dealer and a depository service. Where we really thrive is where God's led us is wealth and capital preservation, okay? We help people help themselves financially. My background is kind of extensively focused on numbers and money. I have a Master of Science degree from Montana State University, which is kind of nice because when they did the degree back when I was in school, it was a Bachelor of Science. They changed the program, and it took 5 years to get. And they changed the program to a Master's of Science, and then later I was able to receive the Master's for the work I'd done. But it's applied mathematics and statistics, and I spoke the other night to a gal from, Texas who is going to invest a substantial amount of money, and even like she said, when she was doing her PhD, the hardest class she had to take was statistics. They hated it, and I told her when I was, you know, going through that program, I would help a lot of grad students to study statistics. It's hard. It's very, very hard, very counterintuitive. It's not like math at all, and you just learn things. And over time, it's actually, mathematics is mind-boggling because with statistics, you can predict with relative certainty of just about anything. And it gets so extensive. And if you don't have a strong math background, you might think you understand. It gets absolutely ridiculous, obviously. And it's just by taking a population sample and then applying a different, you know, a variety of mathematical algorithms to it. And you can, it's phenomenal. Mathematics is phenomenal. It's hard. But they say math is the language of God. Everything that has a physical presence or physical behavior in the world has a mathematical component to it. For example, there are extensive equations with countless variables that the actual graph will literally make a tree, not a symmetrical tree, but a natural looking tree where every branch is different. It has variations. You know, all the leaves are the same, like a maple tree. And then you make minor tweaks to that equation. And these equations are massive. They're massive. Like back when we used to have to do everything by hand, just writing the equation would take up an entire legal notepad. And then when you do operations on the equation, it literally creates these things and you can change it and it becomes an oak tree. And this is true. And it also becomes trees you've never seen. And the bottom line is God is a mathematician. Everything has a physical manifestation or a physics manifestation in our physical world. It's incredible, which to me is an absolute sign of programming, okay? The Bible says it's God's manner or nature to hide a thing, and then Solomon said it's man's nature to find it out. Well, it seems hidden to us because God's incredible. You've heard the term order out of chaos. There are patterns to everything. The stars, the sun, the moon, you know, gravity, mass, you know, things orbit around one another. And you get into things like I've mentioned, the oddity of the earth supporting us as life. Okay. So people go, so here's the thing. They go, well, we happen to be on, if you use like a Boolean equation, which is the odds of life even existing, and it's, trust me, not likely. But the odds of us being on this one planet in this entire universe that supports life, so evolutionists, which by the way has heavily crept into the church, and folks, it just doesn't work. It's wrong. And it's too much to comprehend for a lot of people. So they just follow the, quote, science. Evolution, I've heard these pastors say this or that evolved into this or that. Foolishness. Foolishness, folks. There are things, so where I think certain things really stump a believer who wants to understand is, for example, the 6,000-year universe theory, okay? Now, there's people already cringing going, that's what the Bible says. There's a lot of things that people think the Bible says, but it doesn't. For example, the other day, I was, sorry about that. Someone came in to get a car key from me. My bad. Darn it. Shoot. That's not a good thing. So the other day I was talking to a guy and I was going through a bunch of different scriptures that, in my opinion, tend to show the state of the end times we're currently in, which is, you know, I believe, and I've justified it before, I could do it again, and if I have time today, maybe I will. The World Trade Centers were the collapse of Mystery Babylon. They line up. I was talking to a guy the other day, so there's these three angels in Revelation 14. Angel one was responsible for getting the word to all the nations. In other words, anyone can learn the word of God. Angel 2 says, the hour of his wrath has come, and down goes Mystery Babylon. Angel 3, mark of the beast. Okay? And then we go on in Revelation. Those who get the mark of the beast end up with boils and all this. I think the vaccination thing's going to come on hard, folks. But then when you say the hour of his wrath has come, you go into, what is it, 2 Peter 3? I think that's it. And I always confuse it, but I might get lucky today. Nope. Yeah. Maybe I did get it. Man, I'll tell you. I'll find it here. Sorry. There's, you know, there are certain things that you never get right. That one maybe. Yeah, this is it. Be not ignorant of this one thing. 3:8. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. Okay? If 1,000 years is a day and a day is 1,000 years, and he goes, don't be ignorant about this. Understand. Why would he put that there? I mean, yes, I believe that it shows that each 1,000 years is a day in the history of mankind, 6,000 years, and then God, you know, rests just like his creation. That's his numbers. That's how he worked. But he also breaks it down by the hour in Revelation. So what's an hour? 1/24 of 1,000 years, 41.67 years. Then he immediately says trade towers, or excuse me, Mystery Babylon, you add 41.67 years to September 11th of 2001, you're sitting at about 2043. You go to Matthew 24, where Jesus talks about the parable of the fig tree, the regathering of Israel. And he describes it that, you know, when they come back, he said, this generation will not pass away until they see the coming of the Son of Man. People like to go to 1948 when the accord was signed to let them back into Israel, but there was nothing there. They were just starting to repopulate. 1967, they won the Six-Day War. United Nations honored them as a nation. That's the first time that they were acknowledged as a nation globally. Significant date. Average lifespan at that time of a Jewish person, 76 years. You add 76 years to 1967, and lo and behold, you're back at about 2043. So I honestly think there's a countdown here. And like I was talking to a friend of mine, and he goes, well, the Bible says you won't know the time that he returns. And I said, no, it doesn't say that. It says that no one will know the day or the hour. But he says that right after he tells you the signs of the seasons and the signs of his coming. And you're going to know that his day's at hand and all these things. He's not giving us a stopwatch to count down. He says, you don't know the day or the hour. But he basically says, if you open your spiritual eyes, you'll know the time, quote unquote. It doesn't say you won't know the time. It says you will know the times, the seasons, etc., the passings, whatever you want to call it. So you got to understand the scripture, what it says, and that's that. And I'm not sitting here telling you that I'm right. I just am telling you something that I believe I was led to. And a lot of you, you know, you've heard, what was it, Dave Peterson's, you know, Woman Rides the Beast book from, what was it, the 90s, you know, in the Catholic Church. And at the time, it was semi-feasible, but it took a lot of writing to loosely tie together a lot of circumstantial evidence, etc. And Revelation 18, describing the two tallest buildings in the whole world that comprised the economic relevance of far greater than the GDP of the entire United States of America, coming down in one day and then coming down in less than 1 hour, being called a city where all the ships and kings and rulers of the earth became rich by her sensuality, it says, strenos. It's basically talking about extreme opulence, wealth, you know, fiat currency. New York is a city that did get affected, but the trade towers went down. It says, you know, her sins are piled up to the heavens, the tallest buildings ever. A strong angel threw the city down, the earth, threw Mystery Babylon down like a great millstone being crashed into the sea. And it talks about the dust and the burning and the people standing far off saying, whoa, whoa, this great city, was there ever anything like it? You know, it was called the Big Apple. And it says the fruit you long for has been taken from you, never to be rebuilt again. So I thought, okay, is this thing going to be rebuilt where it was? Nope. Great big water park, water feature. They built the Freedom Tower a couple blocks away, but never there. It says that it's wrapped that she was wrapped in scarlet linen and purple, red, white, and blue. Purple is royal blue. That's where royal blue comes from. This snail that was unique only to Israel. Interesting, God gave Israel control over the finite color of royalty, the highest color of magnificent royalty. It's the color of the priests that the priests use in the temple, and it's also the color that they're trying to get back together for the next temple when God returns. But it's wrapped in scarlet, linen, and purple, red, white, and blue, you know, and it goes on. There's even a word in there that talks about the cargoes she traded in, and one of them in Greek is rhede, R-H-E-D-E. It's a special word only used one time in the entire Bible, and it means it's a special chariot with four wheels meant for riding in. Well, how about a car? There's a list of what she traded in. No one else in the world ever has or ever will since. It talks about the storehouses of gold and silver. The COMEX reserves were Underworld Trade Center building number one. And, you know, there's so much. It's really very justifiably comprehensible. Now, they've wiped out all these videos I used to refer people to. I was with someone the other night looking on YouTube and all this. All gone. But they take the names. Like, there's a great video called Loose Change about the question marks, all the problems with the 9/11 narrative. Well, that video's gone. However, there's like two dozen videos on there with the same name. None of them discuss the topic of that one. A number of them are false debunking videos. Be wise, folks. Don't go watch a debunked. This is the liberal game. The lies upon lies, upon propaganda, upon deception, upon foolishness. You need to be smart. You need to know, you need to go to original sources of information always. You need to know what's being omitted, not just what they're saying. Because what happens is these debunked videos, even when you go on Google and you go to Snopes or, you know, all these supposed, you remember in the election, I think it was with Trump, they started this fact checking. We have our fact checkers checking facts, you know, and then the Brooks Institute, which owns Snopes and whatever else, fact checking. You know what checking facts is? The Brooks Institute is owned by who? The Clintons and Obama. I mean, it's the great and grand deception. It's bad. I mean, it is bad. Folks, the amount of deception. And my point is, these debunked videos that float around out there, don't dare watch them first. Because I've watched them, but I've seen the original sources of information. If you've never seen the original, how do you know you can trust the debunkers? You can't. Because they tell you stuff that was supposedly said or alluded to, you know, or implied or whatever that wasn't. They leave out all the inconvenient information. They snap words out of sentences. I've mentioned when I was, you know, in a regional manager with B of A, they made me go to a technical writing class and separately a technical speaking class at UW. Master's level corporate education. Trust me, they would never offer those classes now because they were actually teaching corporate executives how to play the game. And what's interesting about that, boy, that's loud, isn't it? What's interesting about that is now they don't even do a good job of lying. That Karine Jean-Pierre, the press secretary for the White House, what a joke. What an absolute pathetic joke. It truly is shameful. She just flat stands there and lies and deceives. She's the lying mouthpiece for Biden. So anyway, how I got on that, Lord only knows. Oh, I know how, because I was talking about the great deception about evolution. It's kind of like I started in Spokane and ended up in New Orleans. And you're like, how'd you get there? Bad map. So here's another thing. In 2 Peter 3 again, 3:3. Know this first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. Then it says, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. Okay. But what is that? First of all, there's more. But what's that scripture really say? The actual Greek uses the word katisis, not geneseo. So what it really means is everything continues as it always has been from its origination, not from its creation. So that's one. And then I was checking something else. I won't get into that. That's too much. Okay. So let me back into where I was. Okay. So I'll keep going. All continues just as it is. It was from its origination. Basically saying mockers are going to come mocking, saying, where's this Christ? You know, you guys, they're mocking creation. They're saying everything continues as it was. There's no catastrophic effect of anything there, you know. But in other words, it's evolution. He's telling us this. And he goes, through which the world at that time. Oh, I jumped, didn't I? Ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the origination, from its origination. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago. And then the earth was formed out of water by water. 2 Peter 3:5. He's telling you the earth was formed long ago. And then it was, or what he didn't say, the earth, the, by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago. And then later, the earth was formed out of water by water. What the history of the earth is, I don't know. I just know that God has given us a track record from about 6,000 years ago when he started the process of Adam and Eve and his new creation and the place we live today, the greatest planet in the universe, I'm guessing. Give or take. I'm sure maybe he's got some other beauties out there that are amazing, I'm sure. But whatever. It's incredible, right? Out of water. And then he goes, for when they maintain this, it escapes your notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago. And the earth was formed out of water by water. Let's see. I'm looking at the Greek. Long ago. In Greek. Just means, you know, the longest time from the ancient times, from times of old, it doesn't specifically for a very long while, a very long time of old. And there is one definition before all others. So anyway, I'll go on from here just because it's interesting. Then he tells you, so the heavens were created long ago. Then God came and said, did work on the earth, created it, through which the world at that time, at a time, again, translation, was being flooded with water. Okay, we're talking about the destruction of Noah. And again, when it says the world at that time, I hate to have to do this because they translate so crappy. Tote means a specific point in time. Or the number one definition is then. So basically, they should just say then. Through which the world was then destroyed, being flooded with water. Okay, the flood of Noah. But by his word, the present heavens and earth. Now, this is sitting at the time of Christ, so he is at that time, so he doesn't have to talk about that time. Is being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So he's jumping forward the next 2,000 years. So he's talking about the creation, etc. So in Revelation 14, it uses similar language, and that's it. So anyway, I don't want to get into that too much deeper. There is one other thing that along these same lines. So I was talking to an employee and a friend. You know, we were talking about music. And if you go into Ezekiel 28, I think it's around 12. Lucifer was the master of music. It's known. Okay, so he goes, son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. There's a lot of this king of Tyre stuff. I don't want to get into that right now. To say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal, this is talking about Lucifer, of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. And it says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, ... I'll jump over that. And it talks about all these beautiful, beautiful things that he was covered in. Gorgeous. I mean, I don't even know what he looked like, but unbelievably, spectacularly beautiful. Satan was in charge of music in heaven. Music worship. Worship director. Why do you think evil goes to music? Think about that. He talks about all these grand coverings. And then he says, so the translation says, I hate this. It goes, and the gold, the workmanship of, now it goes. It goes through all these rubies and emeralds and lapis lazuli and turquoise, and you're covered in all this stuff and emeralds. And it says, and the gold, which is gold. And it says, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you on the day you were created. Your settings and sockets? What? Talking about Lucifer? Okay, what's the word for settings that they translated so wonderfully? Tofe, T-O-F-E. What does it mean? Timbrels and tambourines. Period. Nothing else. There's no settings and sockets. But the next one will explain a little bit why they did it. It means stringed and percussioned instruments. Lucifer was the master of music. But then these guys, why do they translate this foolishness? Because they don't know history. They don't know what the words mean. They don't want to believe it. They don't believe it. They don't understand. It's very frustrating. The next part where it says settings and sockets, the next word, and I got to move on. This is typical. The next word was, okay, so that was basically percussion and stringed instruments. When they say settings and sockets, check this out. The next one is Nekeb. It's Strong's number, whatever, 5345. Nekeb. It's the creation of instruments. technical instruments with a jeweler's accuracy, carving and making instruments with grooves, sockets, holes, cavities, and settings. Think of a beautiful guitar. Think of all kinds of instruments. What do? You put frets in, you put grooves, sockets, you screw things, the strings down, holes to capture the sound and amplify it. A cavity. This is all part of the word. A cavity, like a guitar, is a big cavity. And settings, so you can turn the little thumb screws and change the sound. And it says being created with the technical accuracy of a jeweler. Well, the Bible says from the beginning, Lucifer was in control of all that. And the translators, instead of saying, you were in charge of all the instruments and all the music and creating instruments and creating music and worshiping through music, they choose to translate the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. You get it? You get it. That's why it's really critical. I've been using Blue Letter Bible for quite a while. I'm used to it. It's pretty good for studying the Word. I like it. It's donation-based. So if people use it, you should give them some money. I do. But, when you learn how to use it, you can look up things. And I really enjoy studying God's Word in Greek and Hebrew. I think it's critical that you do because you cannot argue. I've seen people sit there and argue English translations. And I've mentioned this. 142,000 English words, 7 million Greek words at the time of Christ, okay? And this is Hebrew, which every word is very specific. It's a drawing and of what it means, etc. So anyway, I think you got that. I'm believing you got it. So there's, again, so many things going on in the world that I'm just, I could just go chase that stuff down every time. But to what end? We know what's going on. We know it's messed up. But you know the thing that I believe God's showing me is all these things are happening in our world. The Democrats, and yes, it's being operated through their political party, and I know it's politics, and people get mad. I hear people like that call into talk shows and say things. I get so disappointed a lot of times with the hosts not responding to their foolishness. And one thing I get ticked, you'll get these liberals that'll call into a talk show, they lie to get their way through, and then a lot of times these talk show hosts just get mad and hang up on them. But a lot of times they're, just like we spoke earlier, or I was discussing earlier, they make deceptive statements. They're not quoting the whole truth of something going on, so they put this polluted information out there. For example, what's interesting, I saw some statistics here the other day. Like Sean Hannity on Fox News, he has more liberals and Democrats watching his show every night, just the liberals and Democrats watching his show, than MSNBC and CNN combined. What's that tell you? They're getting the information, but I think they're afraid to act on it. A lot of them get angry. They're responding emotionally to the stuff that they're being fed. But it's important that you know what you know. You need to, the Bible says to be prepared in season and out of season to give a defense for what you believe. You know, one thing I learned a long time ago in all my business life, same with athletics. If I screw up, I need to go and find a way to not screw up the next time. In this business, which I've had now since 96, basically, give or take, maybe a little earlier, but every time I can't answer a question right, or I handled something wrong or whatever, it's my responsibility to go learn what I did wrong, to face it, and to learn how to do it the right way. That's why over time I've gained a lot of knowledge in my business. I've probably forgotten far more things in this business than almost everyone else in this business remembers. But we need to be prepared all the time to defend our beliefs, no matter what they are. And if you think you're adhering to a belief that's inconsistent with the Word of God, then you better do some research. In other words, if you're like, I'm hanging on to some goofy faith thing that doesn't make any sense and it's foolish and I really don't believe it, but I'm going to hang on to it because I'm a believer. No, you need to go out because your faith, the faith of God, of the Bible, Jesus Christ, too, is based on science. Now, there are things that are inexplicable. That's why we call them miracles. People who don't believe in miracles have chosen not to see them. And it's interesting because, again, back to the mathematics. When certain things happen that are mathematically and statistically impossible, and they are to the benefit and glory of God, the exaltation of God, and the benefit of you, his child, who very likely prayed and requested things, even though he does far more than we could ever ask or imagine, then to what do? Go, boy, it's coincidence. Man, that worked out good. I pray, Lord, please do this. God, help me here. Da, 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 da. Boom. Whew. Well, that worked out good. No, God answered a prayer. He turned, but you got to remember the way God works. Number one, you have to have always free will because you're a free will being that God has to judge one day. That's the purpose of your existence. So the first thing that's required for God to get on board is that your will must align with his will. So you have to have a desire for something. Psalms 37, maybe 4. He who delights, or if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. And Jesus says, you know, multiple times that he'll answer your prayers and all that. So first you have to have the desire. And your desire obviously has to be in line with God. I'm not saying that you're like saying, well, you know, God has the sun rising every day. And so you pray, Lord, I want to be in line with your will. So please help the sun rise tomorrow. You know, that's the clock, the inner workings of the clock he created. I don't mean that. I mean, your will has to align with his will. His will is the salvation of others. His will is, you know, to help, not hurt others. His will is to build up, not tear down. His will is to love, not hate. His will is actually for your prosperity in many, many ways. That doesn't mean you're guaranteed wealth and riches, but he wants you to be prosperous in your ways. There's tons of scriptures. A lot of us get in the way of that, don't we? The second thing, so now you got to have your desire in line with God. Then you have to take action. Why? Because you're a free will being. God doesn't do it for you. God will assist you. He says he'll go before you. He'll straighten your path. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. what is that, Proverbs maybe 3, 5, and 6? You have to make motion. Then he comes. Well, he's there always, but then he can be involved because, number one, you chose by free will to align with him, to seek him, to honor him, to glorify him. Two, you began to move. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. His commands tell you to go and do. His commands are those of action. Once you do that, you get the Lord involved, supercharged. Years back, I had the new Corvette ZR1, 2010 models, stock 638 horsepower. The car weighed 3,000 pounds and stuck to the ground like glue. It had a big supercharger on top of the motor. It was the most horsepower they'd ever gotten out of a 4-liter it was. But that supercharger was amazing. How's the supercharger work? As the engine rails up, it's connected to the camshaft of the motor. The higher the RPMs of the motor, the more it spins that supercharger, and that supercharger runs compressed air into the motor to increase combustion. Superchargers don't work well at low RPMs. You have to have it. It's called spooling it up. And that's why I call it a supercharger. When you spool up for God, his supercharger spools up with you. The more on fire you are for him, the more active you are for him, the more active he becomes for you. So there's something to think about. Let's just say for a moment here, this radio show is called True Wealth, and I'm just going to go through some information. I don't have any notes today, which doesn't always matter. I don't even know where to go. Economically, we're in a tight spot. We've come all the way from the one paycheck home to the two paycheck home, to the daycare home, to the kids being raised by the public school system, and this public school system becoming entitled and teaching our kids all kinds of filthy, vile trash, to government dependence. I don't know a lot of your financial situations. A ton of people are highly, highly dependent on government handouts. Now, there's different opinions of that. There's people that go, well, if the money's there, I'm going to take it. Or, well, shoot, everyone else I know is doing it. Or, I can't get by without it. Got to have it. Whatever. That's between you and God. The point being, we've created a system that you cannot subsist in financially. And then you get, this is improper, but morons like Biden, I'm sorry, but my goodness. I never thought I'd be so distraught and dismayed over a leader like that. First of all, we've transferred way too much power and authority to the executive branch. We've made him a king, and he casts all these executive orders, and they're all garbage, and they're unconstitutional, and they're outside of his range of authority, and over time, some of them go to the Supreme Court and get shot down, and you hardly hear, who cares, you know. Train wreck Joe. Corruption, lies, thievery, in front of the whole world, brain dead. The whole world is looking at the leader of the strongest nation in the history of the world. The master of the free world. Do you know, despite the liberal mantra that everyone hates us and wants to destroy us, do you know for how long these people have admired us? Why do you think these people are pouring into our land through our wide open borders? Do you realize the destruction this man's bringing on us? Selling his soul to these... I mean, folks, this is deadpan serious. Deadpan serious. He's selling us out wholesale. Why do you suppose? It's obvious. Solomon said money's the answer to everything. We have all kinds of evidence, empirical evidence, that his family is superbly corrupt. They're on the huge take from China and Iran and Russia, Ukraine. They're corrupt gets. So now they're in a pinch. They have to continue the game because something might come out. They control all this stuff. Why do you think they did the Russia with Trump? They knew when Trump got in office, folks, he was going to find out all kinds of stuff. He made a simple phone call, the perfect call to Ukraine. I think Trump knew he was being set up, and that's why he kept saying that call was perfect. I think that he ran the entire call dialogue by people in the know beforehand. Didn't matter. The deception. It's the message you send in the attack. It's the accusations that count, not the facts. The corruption is so deep and so thick, and the damage is so fast. We've gone from Bush in what? 2007, with a deficit of $3.8 trillion. Okay, so we started the Fed in 1913 based on borrowed money. From 1913 to 2007-ish, we got up to $3.8 trillion in deficit. That's outstanding M3 money, cash created. Trillion. $3.8 trillion in 2007. 95 years to $3.8 trillion. Add 10 years to that before Trump's inauguration. So 95 years to $3.8 trillion. 10 years of Obama and, well, 2008 to 2016. And then, so whatever, go to 2016. We go from $3.8 trillion in 95 years to 19, whatever it was, 17, 18 trillion in 2016. So we, of course, had the homemade financial debacle and the bailout, the mortgage bailout, which never went to mortgages and all that. And we had, you know, you name it, right? So you got that. Trump, in 4 years, adds like $4 trillion max. A lot, but, you know, compared to the rest of them. So we start out at like, almost $21 trillion with Biden. 2.5 years later, we're over $33 trillion. $12 trillion. $11 or $12 trillion in 2.5 years. You don't even know what that means. I don't know what that means. It's our devastation, okay? Simply put, I could go on, but I'm out of time. What's new? I always do this. You must secure your wealth in God's money. The only things that are biblically attributed is true wealth and have also consistently lasted from the beginning of written human history. Gold and silver, livestock, real estate, human life, and precious stones. Precious metals-based assets, that's us. And I come at it from banking. I've been Series 6, 7, and 24 licensed. I understand equities, taxes, stocks, bonds, you know, hedge funds, annuities. I've been overkill insurance licensed, and my background's in actuarial science, etc. So I know numbers and money fairly well. trying to convince my wife of that. So basically, precious metals have always been the pinnacle form of real money in every throughout every civilized society throughout history. They are not an investment. Get that out of your head. Investments involve the risk of real loss. Precious metals always exist. They don't go away. People go, well, you can get them stolen. Yes. I've had people say, well, I'm worried to have them because they can be stolen. Where's your stock? In some gigabyte, you know, dust storm, in some computer server. You don't even know. So get over that. Go with God. Gold and silver is precious metals-based assets. I'm going to say again. These are non-titled real estate. They're anonymous. They're transportable. They're immediately liquid. They're complete. They're divisible. They're recognizable. They're scarce, obviously. They are the most stable store of value that exists. It is everything the market needs, which is good money. Everything the market needs to be and has been recognized throughout all written human history, right? They offer true financial freedom and liberty. They're biblical, folks, all the way. They offer security, peace of mind, tight private personal control, universal recognition anywhere at any time in the world. They offer incredible desirability. And I'm about done. Take care. God bless. Have a great night. Bye-bye.